think you're soft, man, but I do think you miss Goo.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Huh. Don't we all?
By the way, one of the things that you may know about me is I follow rules. I'm a rule follower. And I also make rules. And
that you don't follow.
One came up today that it's just it's such a no-brainer. And I'm surprised somebody disagrees with me. But if your team moves, yes, you have a choice. You can continue to follow your team that moved. That's fine. Or you can become a fan of another team. Those are the rules.
This we do agree on.
Thank you.
This we absolutely do agree on. And I feel prepared to tackle this subject more than most, because every single team that I have been a fan of in my life is either in the process of moving or has already moved. So my family's from... Yeah, exactly, Ken. You can sit this one out. No, it was brought up because I forget it was...
Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, Ken, what...
Open it up!
What was the situation?
Well, we were talking about Papa and how he went from the Niners...
The Raiders to the Niners.
Raiders to the Niners, yes. Right.
Yes.
And... Or were we talking about... I think it was Lubman, too. He was like... I was like...
We're talking about Sam Lubman, yeah, who is wearing a Raiders jersey today.
Okay.
And Ken says, why is he wearing a Raiders jersey? And I said, well, because he used to be a Raiders fan when they played in Oakland.
Okay.
And now he supports the Niners.
Oh, smart.
And Ken said, well, you can't do that.
Oh, he did it.
Well, I also said there's exceptions to the rule.
Oh, okay.
Because if you're a Browns fan and they go and change themselves to the Ravens.
Right.
All but go ahead, change. You know, it's Seattle to OKC. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, he could have made it easier and just said, "Steiny, you're right. You're right."
But you're not.
No, I am. You just said I was.
No, he actually is. This is the one thing I will agree with him on today. But the thing is, I will say, it is a little strange to go from being a Raiders fan to a Niners fan
for you.
Yeah, but you can do it. It's not out of bounds.
Of course you can.
I'm not going to tell anybody how to fan when their team leaves their city, because everybody reacts differently. I have a lot of family members that live in San Diego. Some, the Chargers are dead to them. To others, they still support the Chargers in Los Angeles, and they make the trip up to go watch games. That's their prerogative.
Right.
The Warriors, last I checked, don't play in Oakland anymore, and I know they're close, but people still support the Warriors.
Right.
Not saying people chose another team, but
my point is, I was probably the biggest Warrior fan in the Bay Area when they were in Oakland.
Well, you worked for them.
They moved, and that's why I became a fan of the Timberwolves, because I had that right.
Wait a minute.
And I took advantage of it.
Well, but before you were a fan of the Timberwolves,
yes,
you were a fan of the Hawks.
Yeah.
Because you had a personal connection.
Sure.
You know, it's why I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do with the A's, because I got to figure out whether I'm still going to be a fan of them or not. And if not, I have another team in mind already.
Oh!
Yeah.
Well, you do have... See, now, in your case...
What?
You already have a second favorite team, so they must be elevated.
Yeah.
They may not be leapfrogged.
No, I have a power
rankings. It's the Padres.
Yes.
Fine.
Because I have family.
But you can't all, like...
And I have friends that work for the team. Or actually a couple people that play for the team.
All right, so it's not really a tough decision.
Well, yeah, but it's...
Pack it in with the
That's my
A's,
power rankings.
You?
Well, they already did that. September 26th, final home game.
All
month
right.
away.
Let's go out to Ray in Watsonville. Ray wants to talk Niners football. Hey, Ray, how you doing, man? You excited about tonight's game?
Hey. Yeah, I'm real excited, Steiny. You can hear it in my voice. Think about this, okay? You got three preseason games. You got 17 regular season games. Remember, there was only really one game in preseason that really mattered. It was like a dress rehearsal. You know, now it seems like, you know, the starters are playing maybe one series. My point is this, as far as with, I think the team, is playing the way that they're playing so they can get Ayuk back and Trent Williams. What do you think, Sam? I think they're acting this bad and putting on a bad show so they can get that back. I'm jesting, but think about this, okay? Real quick. The MLB, NBA, when they sign a contract, that contract is when they get hurt that next day, they get all guaranteed money.
Right.
NFL, I never understood why in the world their union would agree to, you know, it's I mean, think about it. NFL, not for long, right? Yeah. And you think about it. If they get hurt, if they don't play well, they're moving on to the next guy. And I think that these guys should get paid. I mean, that's the roughest sport out there. Baseball, you're sitting in the outfield, you're waiting for a ball to come to you. I mean, the basketball, I mean, really, you ever see them? I love basketball. I love the Warriors. But you think about it, I mean, these guys are getting way overpaid, some of them. Some deserve their money, and others are getting, you know, $100 million contract for what? Doing what? 5 points a game? One rebound? NFL, every play you can get hurt. Every play something can happen to you. Think about who was our linebacker in the Super Bowl going
Greenlaw.
Out after halftime. Yeah, thank you. And you know, just bouncing up and down and boom. What did we talk about that leading up to the Super Bowl about where they were practicing, right? Ooh. And that the field was there in the soft grass or however, you know. So if these guys want to hold out and get their money, I'm all for it. Because you think about it, in preseason, I know the guys, they're practicing, they're exercising, they're keeping their bodies in shape, and so. But I think what the real issue is the now they want to move it up. Didn't I hear that they want to go not only 17 but 18 games?
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's a joke that. There's just no doubt. It's a joke that the NFL is the most harsh on player contracts related to non-guarantees. I mean, it just is. And that's why you're right. Like Brandon Ayuk, Trent Williams, McCaffrey, whoever, they got to try to get their money. And the Niners got to make that decision. So no, like if I blame all parties right now. I don't blame one party over another at all. I just don't.
Well, and that's why, I mean, I don't know. What I've felt this offseason is the Niners are trying to win the deal against Ayuk, and Ayuk's trying to win the deal for himself, you know, to get the most money. And what I don't know about you, Sonny, what I feel like I've learned is that when you try to win the deal, everybody loses. Everyone loses. The team loses because either it has to fork over more money or they don't get their player in on time. The player loses because either they get their money or they don't. Either way, if they hold out, they're not in the best shape possible. And so the team suffers because of that. So the team is either losing or the player is losing, and either it has to do with money or performance on the field. But when you make it about winning a deal and you don't make it about football and trying to set yourself up for the year or the best possible training camp, you're going to run into a situation like this where a week and a half before the season kicks off against the New York Jets, we're talking about distractions, and we're not talking about the things that are positive or what we're looking forward to tonight from the starters or the fact that this actually looks like the Niners have a really good rookie class. I know that Pearsall kind of overshadows a lot of things because of his injuries, and apparently they knew about it during the draft process, but I think Jacob Cowling's looked really good. Malik Mustafa looks like a player for him. Dominic Pooney's probably going to be their starting right guard. You know, they got players in this rookie class, I think, that can play and that can help the team this year and in the future, but we're not talking about those guys. We're talking about Brandon Ayuk, and we're talking about Trent Williams.
If you want some positivity, I got it. I got it right here, right now. He's always been positive. He remains positive, and he always will be positive. Let's go to Antonio in Oakland. Hey, Antonio, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, good, man. Like, tonight's game, I'm not going to say it's, like, not important at all. I'm not going to say it's a lot important. It's like, I'm in the middle.
Okay.
And of course, I want them to, you know, score touchdowns and, you know, throw the ball downfield. You know, I want Jacob Cowan to do good, Ricky Pearsall, guys like that. But honestly, man, like, Purdy's going to be all right. The offense is going to be all right. You know, the slow start defense is usually ahead of the offense, but I'm not worried, man. Yeah, of course, the division's going to be better, conference, whatever. The 49ers are going to win the division for sure. Mm. Like, they're not going to win every game by 30 points against the Rams, Seahawks, and Cardinals, but they're going to go 5-1 minimum. So I'm not worried. In the words of our rival Aaron Rodgers, relax.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, like, that's that. And as far as teams moving, my Oakland A's are moving to Vegas or wherever they're moving,
yep.
But I'm still going to be an A's fan. You know, and I got brothers that are Raider fans, and they're still Raider fans, and my dad, too. So that's how it goes.
Appreciate it, Antonio. And you know what? And let me be the first to say, that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
You have the option to continue to root for the A's or to kick them to the curb. It's your call.
I mean, I know some Niners fans. They still support the Niners, but they're pretty pissed about them moving from Candlestick to Levi's. So much to the point that they don't go to games at Levi's Stadium now because it's not the shtick.
You think there are anybody, there's still people like that?
Oh, I know there are people like that. We both know mutual people that are like that. They will not set foot on the grounds of Levi's Stadium, as strange as that sounds, because they don't play at Candlestick anymore.
I mean, this team is in a shambles. I mean, how could I miss that? The locker room is divided. The fan base is divided.
Do you think the fan base is divided?
Niners?
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah, I know.
Now, the Giants fan base, on the other hand.
Oh, boy.
I am worried about.
I've never heard of a San Francisco 49er fan hate watching their team. But I've heard of a Giants fan hate watching their team.
How about this little piece of news that's come out? The Pro Football Hall of Fame announced a series of changes to its annual selection process on Friday, including the reduction of the waiting period for coaches from 5 years to one.
Why?
You know why. Think about it.
Did they
Who are they kowtowing to?
Did they amend this rule for the hoodie?
Yes, they did. Paragraph number two.
He's going to get in anyways.
Paragraph number two.
Why does Bill Belichick get to jump the line?
That means six-time Super Bowl champion Bill Belichick of the Patriots could receive his bronze bust and gold jacket in Canton as soon as 2026.
See, this is actually, I'm glad you brought this up because this is a problem that I have with sports.
Huh?
And I was talking to one of my friends who is a hitting coach for a minor league affiliate with the Padres.
Ooh, thank you.
So I was just curious what he thought about, you know, Scott Servais getting fired. The Mariners in town to play the Giants, they fired their manager.
Yeah.
And he says, well, you know, he wasn't able to, you know, wasn't able to get the group right, wasn't able to do this. We make it too much about the coaches. Players play and coaches coach. It's not about the coaches more than it's about the players. If your players aren't very good, I'm sorry. The greatest coach in the world is not going to be able to get them to where they need to go. And I just feel like all the time we place the blame and the shortcomings of players at the feet of the coaches. It's why Steve Wilks is no longer a San Francisco 49er, because he was scapegoated last year by his best defensive player. And we make it so much about how the coaches aren't getting this out of the guys and how they're not helping these guys and not putting them in the position to succeed. Last I checked, Kyle Shanahan's not resetting the market next year. Nick Sorensen's not going to reset the market among defensive coordinators. You're not paying a head coach $60 million a year. You paid the quarterback.
Hmm.
You're not paying the manager of the San Francisco Giants $30 million a year.
Yeah.
You're paying their starting pitcher.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because they're more important.
Yeah, no, I mean.
And this pisses me off because they're telling you, they didn't amend the rule for the players, by the way. Players still got to wait 5 years. But Bill Belichick can get in after one. That's hogwash.
Well, what sticks out to me is essentially what you're saying is that Bruce Bochy had no responsibility for the Texas Rangers winning the World Series because he didn't matter. He was just the guy wearing a hat.
What's the Rangers' record right now?
Well, they've had they're not the same team as last year.
Oh, last I checked, they got the same right fielder. They got the same shortstop. They got the same second baseman. They got the same number one pitcher. They actually have a better closer. Why aren't they better?
I don't know. I can't speak to this year. All I can tell you is I don't think the Rangers won many World Series before Bochy got there.
No, they did not. They made it to two, and they got down to a seventh
game. If you had it your way, Gabe Kapler would be one of the longest-tenured Giants managers.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
No. The players gave up on him.
Oh, how come?
Because they didn't believe in him. Hmm. That doesn't make him a bad manager. So you asked me about Bochy. What?
That's two teams now where the team's given up on him.
Who?
Kapler. Phillies and the Giants.
Well, the Phillies give up on everybody.
Not this year. Not under them.
Yeah, exactly.
Not under Thompson.
Name me the manager.
Thompson.
You can name me the lineup, but you can't name me the manager.
Not the famous Philadelphia Philly, Milt Thompson. It's another Thompson.
By the way, yes. Bochy was extremely important to the Texas Rangers last year. All I'm saying is that he wasn't more important than the combination of Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, Adolis Garcia.
Stinks Garcia.
Nathan Eovaldi, Andrew Heaney. I can keep going if you want, but I'm not. That's a drop.
No, it is.
Just saying, look, coaches are important. I'm never going to say that Steve Kerr is more important than Steph Curry.
No, but I might say that Mark Jackson may never have won a title with the Warriors.
But that means that Steph Curry would have never won a title.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
You've told me that that's complete BS before.
What do you mean? Well, I'm
because that means you're putting the coach above the player.
Oh, I think I think sometimes that's the case.
I think the Warriors could have won a title if Mark Jackson was coaching Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now, they might not have gone 16-1, but I'd like to believe over 3 years they would have won a title.
I don't know. I'm not so sure.
Steiny.
Dude.
Come on.
Dude. He had no creativity. Steve Kerr took the Warriors to a level Mark Jackson never would have been able to take them because he doesn't even know how to coach the system that Kerr put in.
I agree.
Like he just doesn't believe in that.
No, I completely agree.
Okay.
But the Warriors have four titles under Kerr. I'm saying is I think they would have been able to win one.
Yeah, I don't. I think another coach would have been able to. I just don't think Mark Jackson would have ever won a title with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Now, Durant, if he comes, I don't know. I mean, that team could have won without a coach. But I'm also thinking, I'm actually not putting Durant in the equation. Maybe I should. But he wouldn't have. He was never going to survive that long. He had a death wish from the day he started. He did. He did. He was 3 months in, and he got extorted, and it was so bad.
Look, I'm not saying that Mark Jackson is, you know, Red Auerbach, but he's not an anvil. He's not Steiny.
I don't think he would have. I just don't.
If Mark Jackson had if Mark Jackson was, well, I know you hate to think about this. If Mark Jackson was still the head coach of the Golden State Warriors, Steph Curry would be ringless, is what you're saying. Because I don't think that you believe that.
He might be.
He might be.
He might be.
I owe Curry nothing.
Well, that's all I said. I just said, obviously I can't prove it. I'm telling you.
He stunk. We get it. He stunk.
Thank you.
He's good enough to win a playoff series, though. And why did he win a playoff series? Because of his players.
He was 1-2 in postseason series. 1-2.
Yeah, but he never had the higher seed. Didn't have home court.
Why not? Because he couldn't get his teams to produce in the regular season.
The year before the year.
Oh, I got Murillo's on the Xfinity Mobile text line. He's Murillo, you're done.
What? No.
I'm not reading your thing, Murillo.
I'll put him right through.
Murillo's done. Anyway.
Tiny, you've been soft.
I'm trying to think of what other head coaches you don't like.
Randy Whitman.
I think he might have had a chance with Curry, KD, and Clay. And Dre.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I think he might have had a chance.
You know what?
Patino?
Patino wins with the Warriors.
What about, oh, boy.
Well, you know who
who's
probably
the guy who benched Curry?
Keith Smart?
Yeah, he wins.
Let me tell you who. Let me tell you where we'd have rings on both hands.
He wouldn't have let Curry guard Kyrie in Game 7.
If we had Finchie in here, we'd be wearing rings on both hands. Mm-hmm. All right, Filmo Mike says I need to be checked.
Please, get him, Mike.
What's up, Filmo? Check me.
Yeah, Steiny. I'm gonna, you dare right up there, check you. Steiny.
Oh, I'm right here. That's what P.J. Carlissimo said to Sprewell. I'm right here.
Yeah, and he don't get choked. Do not get choked. It happened. You know, I'm from the mean street.
Yeah, I know.
But listen, though. I'm not going to disrespect you and call you a dork like I did a couple years ago because I really rock with you. I really rock with you. But you sound crazy, man. I got a capo for Guru. First of all, Frank Vogel got a championship. You mean to tell me Mark Jackson couldn't get no championship? Come on, Steiny. Just because you couldn't get the exclusive interview back in the day, you still mad at Mark Jackson, man. Come on, Steiny.
Steiny. It was wrong.
Come on, Steiny. Don't do Mark Jackson like that, dude.
Oh, I'll do him like
Frank
that.
Frank Vogel got the ship.
You know who got the start for the Golden State Warriors? You know how he determined the starting lineup? What five players brought him apples in the morning and put them on the teacher's desk? That's who he started.
But, Steiny, you fair to you act like you wasn't there when the Warriors was trash after the We Believe years.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody came in and cleaned up shop, and that man was Mark Jackson, and he still ain't got a chance. Meanwhile, he got all these Thibodeaux and Frank Vogels and all these average-ass, lame-ass coaches keep getting gigs again. Come on, man. Don't disrespect Mark Jackson like that. You better be careful.
Get him, Mike.
Filmo, I gotta disrespect Mark Jackson. I just have to.
You better be careful.
All right, give me one more before you get out.
Budenholzer.
Hit me one more time.
Oh. Hey, but look, we gotta go play golf, Steiny. I'm gonna get you. You go, bro, I swear to God, I shot like a 94 a couple weeks ago. I was hitting everything.
That's
was
pretty
like
good. Where'd you play?
Everything was perfectly sounded. I played at it start with a C, and it's in
Alameda.
Alameda, Carica.
Carica Park.
Yeah,
yeah, that's good. That's an easy course. All right.
Oh, hey.
Nah, I'm messing with you. I'm messing with you. Hey, I'll get out there with you, Filmo. I'll get out there with
you. Carica par 3.
They have multiple courses.
Okay.
They do have a par 3. They have also the south course, and they're working on the north. So eventually they're going to have two courses out there.
How much land have they got in Alameda?
It's nice. Nice piece of property.
Good Lord.
Nice piece of property. 94, though, Filmo. That ain't bad.
Hey, you're cracking 100.
That
you're good
bad.
In my book. That's bogey golf, bro.
I saw a stat that... Now, this is based on whether or not people tell the truth, which nobody does anymore, except yours truly.
Mm-hmm.
Like 80% of golfers don't break 100. They just can't. Now, everybody says they can. You know why?
Your boy did.
Who?
Oh, come on, me. I told you, 98.
Yeah.
First round in 5 years.
Yeah, okay.
I'm a natural.
Okay. Let's see you do it in front of me.
Roy Hobbs.
All right. Okay, 888-957-9570 is the number. What's coming up next on the game? It's presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
Tell me what I've seen. I'm 50 years old. I know what I've seen.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Steiny and Giddings today. It's a Friday.
Hell yeah. Thank God.
We did have something on the vine that we were going to talk about. And I really was thinking we might. But I've come to the conclusion that I don't think it matters anymore.
Well, you have to explain what it was.
Well, I will. But
I put so many brilliant things on there that it's almost disrespectful of you to not bring it to the show.
By the way, and now I'll forget what I was going to say first. Have you ever noticed, have you looked at resumes lately or gone on to LinkedIn? And listen, I'm happy here, don't get me wrong, but I like to check in on LinkedIn.
Sure.
Since when, you know how they usually say, like, you know, you can type 50 words a minute. You can write a story on deadline.
What kind of special skills column do you have?
My point is when did it become a character storyteller? Apparently, if you're a storyteller, that's like you can get a job.
Yeah, you're well versed in oral tradition.
But, well, I'm a storyteller.
Yeah. So start tooting your own horn, storyteller.
I can tell a story, but I never knew that was the number one thing companies out there are looking for.
What is that? Is that a job listing? Storyteller for $80K a year?
If you go onto LinkedIn and search for storyteller, you will find that word in many resumes of people who want jobs, and you will find that word in many job descriptions. I'm just saying.
Well, it sounds like you need to update your resume.
Oh, we'll see. I'm in a good spot here at 95.7 The Game, though. Anyway, no, what I was going to say is...
Well, okay. First of all, why are you on LinkedIn so much? Not for yourself, of course. It's for, you know, your daughters or...
You know what? I'll be honest.
Valuable employees.
I don't want to. You know, you hit the nail on the head. I don't like to toot my own horn at all. But a lot of people want to link with me. That's why I go on.
Do you already have 500 plus?
I don't know.
Or whatever the amount of link. I'm honestly, I don't really use social media much except for, I don't know, self-promotion.
I'm just saying. Anybody out there need a storyteller? We all need a side hustle, right? I mean, we all need a side hustle in this day and age.
Yeah, you're telling me. So, it's like a requirement for people my age. That's why the other day when you asked me when I was going to retire, I'm not. I will never be able to retire.
Yeah, you hate to see it.
No, well, yeah, you do.
No, listen, I do not.
I mean, Scully didn't retire up until he was like 88.
And the guy who should retire, they're asking back.
Who?
In New York. Okay, so...
Oh.
What did I do wrong?
Get off Sterling.
Yeah, I don't want to necessarily get into this, but you did bring it up on the Vine. And because I didn't see it. So Curry talked last night at the Democratic National Convention, or he videoed something and they played it?
Yeah, he sent a video and then they played it. I think they kind of hyped it up like there was a surprise guest from somewhere in the Golden State, and then a video played on the big board of the DNC, and he was saying, you know, get out there and vote, and we support, and okay, all the rest.
So, and I remember when Kerr came out, I guess on Tuesday, I saw somebody and a few people.
Curry was not in person.
Right.
Kerr was.
When Kerr was in person, I saw a lot of people say, boy, Kerr lost a lot of fans last night. You know what? And I mean this. I don't think people care anymore.
About what?
About Curry doing that, Steve Kerr doing what he did, Popovich who does what he did. I'll say it too. Harrison Butker. Like, Tim Thomas's?
The former forward for the Suns?
No, he was a goalie for the Boston Bruins who didn't go to the White House after they won to see Obama.
I know Tim Howard.
You know... You ever heard of Mary Lou Retton?
Nope.
Are you serious?
Should I know who that is, Ken?
Wow.
Great Olympian.
And you're...
No.
One leg.
I have blind spots, all right?
Okay. Anyway, she was an Olympic...
I don't know everything.
Olympic gold medalist. She did the Pledge of Allegiance at the 2004 Republican convention.
That's probably why I don't know her.
Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
Well, Kurt Schilling. No, nobody cares. Like, nobody cares. And I'll tell you how I know this. Because I remember about 35 years ago, Bruce Springsteen came out and endorsed somebody, probably a Democrat. And I was, oh boy, that's big. The boss. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about that.
Well, clearly they do.
It shouldn't offend you. It should not offend you.
That I agree with. And number one, it's not courageous at all. It's not. No athlete or entertainer or anybody who has no right to be in a political realm, nobody's putting themselves out on a limb by saying, go vote for whoever. But what they are doing, Steiny, because you brought this to the air, is they are highlighting a particular candidate or in general that you should go be a part of our political system and vote, which I do agree with. So the fact that Curry, like, I don't care who he endorsed. I don't care, you know, who a particular player on the Niners, if they showed up at the RNC or whatever. I don't care who they endorse. But the fact that we're talking about it means that they are highlighting something which is important, which is to vote for what you believe in. I mean, I think that's important for most Americans.
But, yeah, but as it relates to Curry, okay, so what do we know about Curry? All right, we know how he feels about, let's put it this way, we know who he's going to vote for. Okay, we know that. But we also know something about Curry, too. That he's religious. I mean, he's a Christian. That's a fact.
Loves JC.
And my point is that I admire that, I guess, I respect that. I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to use somebody's views from both sides of the aisle to make it clear that I don't care either way. You know what I mean? Like, Curry's religion and spirituality may lead you to believe that he's more of a conservative. Okay, so what? He believes in God. It's great.
Well, no,
a lot of people do.
But I think a lot of people believe that there's a right and a wrong side, though. So I think when you hear, you know, someone endorsing a particular candidate, you associate them with that candidate's beliefs and views, or a lot of people do. Like, I don't care who Curry is endorsing. You know, I saw the headline this morning that he was at the DNC, and good for him. But it's not going to influence the way that I vote. And I think it sounds like what you're trying to get at. No matter who's speaking,
right,
should not influence the way that you lean politically. Like, you should be able to make your own decision based on an individual, not the individual's support system or their cast of supporters.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think it's funny because, I don't know, when was it, 3 years? The shut up and dribble for LeBron. It's like, even that is, like, I just don't think people care as much as people think other people care about it.
But, well, with LeBron, I don't know, Curry to some extent, it doesn't piss me off, but I do think it's a little disingenuous that someone like LeBron James or Steph Curry or any one of these big figures does something like this, and then they're branded as, you know, pushing forward. I don't know, like, they're speaking for a cause. Like, they're not. Like, LeBron James winning a social justice, like the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar social justice award, that to me is disingenuous. Like, LeBron James has never done anything for social justice that has jeopardized his place or how much money he makes or the safety of his family. Like, that is what championing for social justice is to me.
Right.
I don't think Curry is putting anything out last night that is going to jeopardize his position, his brand. He's not trying to sell anything. He's not going to lose followers. He's not going to lose money. He's still going to sell shoes. He's still going to show up on October, you know, whatever date, and be at Chase Center. He's not losing anything by going out last night. I don't think Steve Kerr is losing anything, except for maybe people who already don't support him anyways, not paying attention. Like, the whole Republicans buy sneakers too, I don't think applies to either of those two people.
I hear what you're saying.
Like, they're not doing anything that is going out on a limb. So I can't say that they're championing for social justice or they're, you know, speaking for the right side of things, because that demands some sort of risk. There's no risk in what Curry did last night.
Probably not. Probably not. I don't think there's going to be one Steph Curry fan who's no longer a Steph Curry fan. I mean, is it nice? Is it nice when I see pro athletes or a coach have a view that I share? Yeah, it's nice. It's good to see. But there are countless other athletes and coaches who have an opinion that I don't agree with. And all I'm saying is I don't value one and not value the other. I value both the same, which is very little. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's go to Don in Berkeley. What's up, Don? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing well, thank you.
Great.
Yeah, so I do care about athletes and what they say and what they stand for. I cared a lot when Colin Kaepernick took a knee and got ostracized for it, and that was an obvious bad move by the NFL, in my opinion, that this is a guy who deserved all these years to be playing football. I do care when Steve Kerr comes out and supports gun control, in part because he has such a personal experience with losing his father. I do care that Steve Kerr is a very thoughtful person who cares about social causes. I do care that Steph Curry is endorsing Kamala Harris. And I do think that there's some risk involved, like, for example, when Curry said he wasn't going to go to the White House to celebrate a championship with Donald Trump as president, and Trump disinvited them all, that was a consequence. And I think, for example, if Steph Curry played for the Oklahoma City Thunder or someplace in a red state instead of the very progressive Bay Area, that there would be more consequences for this type of endorsement. I want to say one more thing about Steph and the religion issue. And I think Steph is pretty restrained. He doesn't come right out all the time saying God is great and God's the reason I thank that three-pointer from half court, like some of the people with these long field goals and John 3:16 and all of that stuff. I don't know what John 3:16 is. I'm not a Bible person, but I know God didn't make the field goal happen, and God doesn't make you win the game. And but I do think that I draw a line between somebody saying their political standpoint, which is okay with me, but trying to claim that religion is why you won the game, that's too much for me. So sure. Any thoughts?
No, appreciate the call.
Well, I'm glad.
I'm not saying, well, I guess I might have said nobody cares. I don't think a lot of people care. That's all I'm saying. But, I mean, I get people who do care, but I don't anymore.
The caller brought up Colin Kaepernick.
Okay.
And that's the difference. Colin Kaepernick had something to lose when he did what he did. That's what makes it so powerful. That's what makes it impressive, and that's what makes it meaningful. To compare what Colin Kaepernick did to what Steph Curry did last night is not even in the same stratosphere. That's why I revere Colin Kaepernick, and I do care about him doing something like that. But something like what we're talking about right now doesn't really move the needle for me.
Right. That's kind of where I'm at too. Like, to me, it happens so much that it's losing its oomph, if you will, when it does get done. You know, I'm also thinking about, like, Nick Bosa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we kind of know where he comes. We kind of know where he comes from politically.
Yeah,
or at least did year. Like, doesn't make me root for him any less. Like, I don't, like, if that's what he believes, great. If Curry believes what he believes, great. Kerr believes what he believes, that's great. And I kind of get it because of his personal story. But I do think the days of outrage over somebody doing or saying something politically, whether you're a coach or a player, it's over.
I don't think it's over. It's never going to be over.
Maybe never over, but it's kind of over for me, right? And it doesn't mean that I don't listen to what they have to say. It just means that I think everybody's got a point of view, and people share it in different ways, and some people share it more than others. That's all. We don't have to go down this road.
Well, you brought it up.
Well, it's because you put it on the thread.
What are you talking about?
Last night.
Well, because we talk about things on the thread that don't have to do with sports.
We do?
Yeah, all the time.
Hold on. Was it, which thread was it under last night?
By the way, a text between you and I is not a thread. It's a text message and in a one-on-one conversation. What I put in the group chat, that's what we call the vine or the thread. Me texting you because I was curious if you'd seen what Curry said at the DNC last night. That's not a thread.
Okay, what's the terminology for it?
A text. I texted you and asked you if you'd seen it. But lo and behold, Steiny, to many people's shock, you didn't respond.
That's because I put my money where my mouth is. And I just came out and I said, you know, I just don't, me personally, I don't really care that much.
People that's saying you're going to stop texting me. He doesn't text me anyways. I'm like Curry. I got nothing to lose.
All right, so let me get this straight. You text me.
Yes.
It's a text.
Yeah.
I text you back.
Yeah.
It's a thread.
No, it's a response.
Oh.
It's just a text. But when we're in a group with Guru and myself and Ken and you and Carter and, I don't know, anybody else in 95.7 The Game, that's when it becomes a thread. You know, because there's a thread of messages from multiple people that you have to go through. That's how I'd define it.
All right. So more than two people on a text is a thread.
Well, but when you're talking about the thread, oh, God, we're going down a rabbit hole.
Well, it's better than talking about politics.
Again, you brought it up.
Right, and I'll end it.
All right.
And I'll end it. Yeah, there's no judgment. I'm not saying it's good, bad, or indifferent. Just bringing it up. It's like here's all it is. I'm bringing information to the table. Hey, you see Steph Curry last night? Just like I did on Monday. Remember what I said Monday?
What?
I said, I'm just going to provide information for some people. Andrew Wiggins is not going to China on a trip that was planned because he's got apparently another serious family issue.
Yeah.
Right. Now, people can go make a judgment on that. I didn't.
Well,
I just provided the information.
So people can make judgments.
That's right. That's right.
It's kind of like you're taking the easy way out, which is another thing that I texted you about that you didn't respond.
Which?
The artist. Yeah, thank you. The easiest thing to do in our position or in general journalism, in my opinion, is to do a mailbag. It's lazy, and you agree with me. And I hate to open up this can of worms.
Keep this one to myself.
Well-respected people do this all the time, and I believe it's because things are a little stale. And so they need some stuff to talk about, and they're trying to understandably get their own opinions flowing about what they should write about or where it's coming from. But anytime you see the mailbag, just know it's lazy. I know it because I used to do it a lot. The easiest thing to do is ask for mailbag. Send me a question so I can answer it. Why? Because I don't have any to come up with myself. It's like if you stood right here and you said 888-957-9570, we're taking a mailbag.
Right.
What do you want us to talk about? You're telling on yourself.
I would love that.
Yeah, I know. You're telling on yourself because we got nothing to talk about.
Well, that's not true.
What?
I can talk about anything. It's just if I were to do it that way, it would simply be a courtesy to our audience to allow them the forum that they deserve. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
I know you agree with me.
So what you're saying, Evan, is they should rename it the mail-it-in bag.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a five.
Okay. Okay.
I'm not saying mailbags aren't valuable. It does give the people a chance to ask their questions.
Okay. Well, look. Why can't we do a mailbag on the other side where I'll just fire off questions to you about stuff and you can get, like...
Well, the point is to ask the audience. So you would say, you know, we're going to line it up, whatever you... The Niners or, the San Francisco Giants. We're doing a Giants mailbag. No, we're not doing a Giants mailbag. We're doing a Niners mailbag on the other side. It's a Freudian slip.
I'll tell you what. We can do a mailbag on the other side. I'll give you three questions about Bay Area sports.
Okay.
And then you can create content.
But it's not for me. It's a mailbag. Is a mailbag is for the audience, right? Unless I'm a member of your
ostensibly.
Audience. Fine, you can pepper me with questions. I know it's. I don't know. I'm sitting in goose chair.
Yeah. Anyway, no, I'm
what
not.
What am
going.
I throwing back in your face?
There's not. There's nowhere to go with this Curry stuff, people. There's nowhere to go.
You are just
informing. Yeah, and I did a lot of research.
Well, you did say it doesn't mean anything to you. That's an opinion.
It doesn't mean, I should have.
That's a judgment.
I should have said to me.
Yeah.
I should have been more clear about to me. You know what? But, everybody's got these beliefs. It's just a matter of who shares them and who doesn't. Mm-hmm. Oh, we got mailbag coming up on the other side.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How many mailbags would you do a year, by the way, when you were a journalist?
Well,
this is going to tell me a lot about you.
When I was a real journalist at the Contra Costa Times, the answer was zero. Now, when I got to NBC Sports Bay Area.
Oh, boy.
And they're like, we need this, that. Why don't you do a mailbag? Then I'd go, okay, I'll do a mailbag. Who's got questions out there? What then would end up happening, of course, is I'd get two. And then I would have to make up names and questions by myself and ask myself questions.
You reap what you sow, brother.
So ask it would be like the right question.
It would be like, Steiny, how come everybody thinks Steph Curry's this great player? How great do you really think he is, Billy, in San Rafael? And there was no Billy, but I could talk about Steph Curry and his greatness. And tell Billy why he's wrong and why Steph Curry is one of the greatest of all time. So you can set people straight with a mailbag.
Mail Mets.
Yeah, it's the mail-it-in bag. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. I'm opening up the phone lines, but not to political stuff.
No.
No politics.
Not that.
No Steph Curry. We can't talk about Steph Curry. Only that he's waiting to sign that extension. He's got some ultimatums first.
Well, apparently. He's only got 1 year to decide on. Let's be honest. It's not a big deal.
He's got a couple months.
No, but he has to decide whether he wants to sign a one-year extension.
By October 22nd.
Yeah, but the extension isn't for multiple years.
Correct. It's for one.
1 year.
1 year. 1 year.
How big of a choice could it be?
It's a great question. I don't think much of one.
That'll
at all.
That'll be in the mailbag.
That may be a mailbag question. download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. That segment was brought to you by Express Employment Professionals.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.